Get that Bible handy, please. In this section that we've looked at today in Philippians, Paul tells the church of the Philippians how to live first. Then he gives Jesus as the example to follow. And then he again tells them more about how to live, how to respond to what Jesus has done for us. So I want to start with the middle. I want to start with the example that Jesus gives us. Christ Jesus is God, it says, yet he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He did not grab or snatch or grasp at power and control. Jesus refused to take advantage of the privilege that was rightly his. Verses 7 and 8, he made himself nothing. Jesus humbled himself. He humbled himself when he joined us as a human, fragile and vulnerable. He humbled himself when he served his disciples, washing their feet. He humbled himself when he submitted his life and his body to death on a cross. Since we already know, because I already told you, that Paul wants us to follow the example of Jesus, we should be feeling very nervous right now. But the example of Jesus is that he humbled himself to the point of death. But that's not the end of the story of Jesus, is it? Verses 9 through 11, Jesus made himself nothing, but God exalted him to the highest place. The name of Jesus is above every name. Every knee should bow before the ruler of heaven and earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now let's take a look at how we are to respond to Jesus' self-giving. Back to chapter 1, verse 27. It says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Live your life worthily of Christ and what he has done. Verses 27 through 30 is one big run-on sentence because Paul loves to do that. It's about how to live a good life in the face of suffering, particularly suffering for the gospel. Both Paul and the Philippians were facing persecution and opposition, but there is purpose in suffering. For Christ, pain and death led to salvation for all. For us, for Christians, struggle will be a part of bringing that salvation message to others. It's an honor to suffer for Christ, and God has a purpose in all of it. Into chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, another one long sentence that twists and turns all over the place. Paul now turns his attention from the threats from outside the church to threats within the church. We only have one side of the conversation here, of course, but we get a sense of what is going on based on what he tells them to do and what not to do. He condemns selfish ambition. Godly ambition is still okay. Dreams to further God's kingdom. It's self-serving ambition that's the problem. Paul also warns them not to look to their own interests. He tells them to be like-minded, have the same love, be one in the spirit, and of one mind in case they missed it the first time. In humility, he says, value others above yourselves. We don't have all the details, but it appears the Philippian church needed to work on humility, love, and unity. Otherwise, how could they possibly stay strong in the face of opposition and persecution? Humility is required for unity, and unity is required to endure hard times together. Maybe you've heard of Jesus Others You, spells joy, or stands for joy. I've met at least one person who experienced that saying, or whatever we want to call it, not as joy, but as a burden. So it's tricky for me to tell everyone to consider others before themselves, since I'm guessing some of you need to do a better job of taking care of yourselves at this time. And I certainly don't want to leave the door open to a twisting of this passage that could include abuse. Humility is not humiliation. Jesus knew who he was. He was rooted in his identity as the Son of God. And it was in that place of security that he was able to give of himself. We have to know who we are in Christ before we can consider others. We need to be rooted in our identity as beloved children of God, precious in his sight. And in that place of security and dignity, we can imitate Christ's self-giving. Let's jump over to verse 12 then, in chapter 2. More of Paul's instructions for the Philippians in response to what Jesus has done for us. Paul first restates how he wants us to live in light of what Jesus has done for us. Verse 12 is kind of a restatement of chapter 1, verse 27. How do we live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus? We continue to work out that salvation accomplished by the death of Jesus. Verse 13 says, it is God who works in you. Bonnie Thurston said, there is no salvation without God. But humans must accept and work with what God offers. We can't do anything by our own strength, but with God's help, we have a part to play. Obedience is our job. But notice there's no list of rules and regulations. We are obedient to the example set by Christ. We follow the pattern of humility and laying down our lives and our ambitions, knowing that God will lift us up in his time. Paul is currently, as he writes this, following Christ's pattern. Verse 17, Paul expects to be martyred. Poured out like an offering is how he puts it. We're calling this sermon series Surprising Joy because there is so much joy in this letter that also deals with a lot of challenges and problems and pain. We almost made it through one fairly long section without Paul telling us to rejoice in our sufferings. But there it is in verses 17 and 18. Paul says, basically, I'm paraphrasing a little, if I am about to die for my faith, I am glad and I rejoice. You should be glad and rejoice with me. Rejoicing in hard times doesn't come naturally to me. Complaining comes a lot more naturally. Maybe that's true for everybody. I know that I'm probably not alone in trying to find that balance between taking care of myself and giving to others, particularly with everyone home right now in my family. What is perhaps most encouraging to me in this whole passage is that the pattern that Christ sets for us does not end with the cross. It ends with resurrection and exaltation. If we are running on empty, God can fill us up again. If we are treated unfairly, God notices and cares. If we are seeking to put him first and struggling to juggle it all, God sees our heart's desire. If we are hurting, God promises to wipe away our tears. Struggles may continue, but the promises of life and hope remain. So bow down before the one who humbled himself and is now exalted in the highest place. Bow down before our humble Christ, that God may lift you up. Amen.